This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Together with her husband, Apostle Paul, the pastor, the co-pastor, the Harvest Church here in London, England, and they have two wonderful children, Ben and Abby. Brothers and sisters, can we receive with joy God's servant, Apostle Joe Northam.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Well, thank you so, so much. And what a joy and a privilege to be here. You know, I was thinking how when a ministry just seems to suddenly come from nowhere, here in the world, we can call it an overnight success. But there is no such thing in the kingdom. From nowhere to suddenly number two in the nation. And yet, how many years was the Lord God preparing and purifying and working on this vessel? So I want to honor this mighty man of God, Apostle Michael. We thank God that you have come to the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom welcomes you, the mantle that you so gracefully carry, you, your wife, your amazing son. God bless you, sir. We are so grateful that you came here to this nation. What an awesome, awesome move of God's Spirit happening. We give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, did you know God does something for the hungry that He cannot do for anyone else? You can be standing beside somebody, and if one is hungry and one is observing, the observer will go away hungry, but the hungry child of God will go away filled to overflowing. So right now, if you are hungry in this place, give Jesus praise. Give Him praise. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you will shut your eyes, lift up your hands in His presence. I want to pray for you first, and then I would love to lead you in prayer. Father God, I pray for each one of your children right now. Father, I pray that you would do something so powerful and new in each heart and life. Father, you know each one's story. You know what no one else knows. And so I pray that you would deal with those invisible barriers. Right now, with your eyes still shut and your hands raised, just say boldly out loud, Heavenly Father, my heart is open to you. Will you shine your light into the depths of my soul and reveal those buried issues that have been blocking my destiny? Do something new in me that will bring glory to Jesus. I surrender to your love and to your will. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Please take your seat. Praise God. It's only recently that my husband and I have been getting the privilege to minister together a little more often. You're going to get to know him in just a while, the man who has truly, truly mentored me, shaped me, refused to tolerate the things in me that would hold me back. He has been God's trusted, how can I put it, human potter in my life. And I honor him, and I'm so grateful to God for him. I'll never forget, Apostle, we had two prophets came to our church within the space of about 6 months. I already thought my husband was very direct with me. But we had two prophets came within a short space. One of them is a shared good friend of ours. And they both said to my husband at the end of a prophetic word, and be tough on her because of where I'm taking her. And I'll be like, Lord, not again. Why? So if you have somebody in your life who loves you enough to be tough, give God all the glory. Submit to what God wants to do. Hallelujah. You know, there is a scripture that I want to start with. 3 John 2. And this is one of the prayers of the Holy Spirit. You know, yes, these books, these letters in the New Testament were written by men of God. And please, sir, if you can stay with me the whole way, that is wonderful. They were written by men of God, but these were written by the Holy Spirit. And so this is a prayer of the Holy Spirit. And so this is God praying for you. Say out loud, God prays for me. Jesus forever intercedes. Isn't that powerful? You think you pray and pray and pray and pray, and Jesus is like, whoa, you haven't caught up with me and you never will. And so this verse says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. I want to start from the beginning in that verse because it says, beloved. You know, that word in the Greek is from the Greek word agape, but it's a specific derivative of it that means worthy of love. So I want you to realize that when God addresses you, you know, if your father, when you were growing up, just shouted, oi, son, child, come here. You know what? God the Father, when he's praying for you, he's saying, beloved. And it means worthy of love. So he's saying, my one who is worthy of my love, I pray that you may prosper in all things. You know, it is the will and desire of God that you succeed, do well in every area of your life. There is a lady in our church recently just been chosen for such a strategic position in this nation. And you know what? God needs you to arise. Because when the righteous rule, the city rejoices. We need righteous people who are dead to self and alive in Christ to be raised up in this nation. And no one wants that for you more than God the Father. And he says, my beloved, I pray for you that you may prosper in all things, in your marriage. I want you to prosper in the kind of father that you are, the kind of mother that you are, the sister, daughter, friend. Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in health. But there's a caveat, because it says, as, or to the extent we could say, that your soul prospers. You see, God is saying, I want to raise you up, but I'm going to check your heart. I'm going to look deep on the inside of you. When, you see, we think if I can just get some more skills, is my CV good enough yet? We think, oh wow, I need to go to some networking event and meet this person who might open this door. Listen, that's the world system and it fails. But you see, God says, I'm looking at your heart. I am looking at your heart. You know, when God was looking for a new king to lead his beloved nation, he wasn't moved by outward things. No, the Bible says that God spoke to Prophet Samuel and said, I don't look at the outward appearance. That's what man looks at. I'm looking at your heart. And this is the thing. We're raised so much in culture where we look after everything else. If you have a car, you probably look after it. If you have children and you're a mother in particular, I know how much time you look after them. You look after your relationships, I hope, your job, your clothes. But what do you do to look after your heart? And yet, according to Proverbs 4, verse 23, guard your heart above all else. Spend more time taking care of your heart, is what that means. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living Translation. Say out loud, my heart determines the course of my life. How many of you want to be promoted? Let me tell you what God said to me at the start of this year. He said, Joe, I'm going to take you higher. So I'm about to dig deeper. If you want to go high, it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to go deep. So I want to look at the story of someone in Scripture. Because you see, very often we can read the Bible in the knowledge of how certain stories end out. And as a result, we don't catch what the Word is really saying. So I want us to look at the life of Saul, King Saul, from the Old Testament. And we're going to go on a journey together. And as you remember, the children of Israel were crying out and saying, Lord, we want a king. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God love the children of Israel? Yeah? And the Bible says in James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning at all. So does God ever give bad gifts? Right. So here we have the people God loves saying, give us a king. And the God who only ever gives good gifts. Stay with me. We're going on a journey. So, in 1 Samuel 9, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to just get to the core bits of this scripture. It says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Goes on to say, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. You know, God loves it when you and I dig in the Word. That is one of the things I love so much about this mighty man of God, is what comes out of the Word through his mouth. I'm like, whoa, have I even read the Bible before? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I remember one day reading this and saying, Lord, I've got a problem with this. Why would you choose a man for the way he looks? You know, God doesn't mince his words when he writes the word, yeah? And I was like, Lord, why would you choose a man for the way he looks? And I felt the good pleasure of the Lord, and I felt him say, keep digging, Joe. I was like, wow. So I looked in all the translations I could think of, and then I went to the original Hebrew. And I discovered that the word translated handsome in the original Hebrew is a word tob. And it's used approximately, let me see, oh, I've written it down here, 559 times in the Old Testament. And most times this word is translated either good, goodlier, or better. Twice out of 559, it's translated fair, and once handsome. You see, I believe that the translators couldn't understand what God was saying, and so they translated it within the realm of their understanding. You know, actually, the Young's literal translation puts it differently. It says, there is not a goodlier man among the sons of Israel than he. And yes, he was tall. What's my point? God would never choose someone who didn't love him, not to lead his nation. God would never provide a solution to a problem through someone who is a fraud, a fake. No, listen to me, my friend. God chose King Saul. Remember, we're talking about our hearts. God chose King Saul when he was Saul because he had a good heart, because he loved the Lord. Stay with me on this one. Now, when we're introduced to him, we see that it says that he was the son of a mighty man. Some translations say a very wealthy man. So here we have a man raised up in the home where he has a very powerful dad. And he's raised in that home. Now, I want you to hear the response of Saul when he was told by the prophet Samuel, you're God's choice. All the desire of Israel is resting on you. How many times do we pray, Lord, send someone, Lord, meet our needs, Lord, do this, do that. And then he says, okay, and we're like, whoa. Listen to Saul's response when prophet Samuel said, God picked you. 1 Samuel 9, verse 21, the second half, he says, am I not a Benjamite? Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin. Why then do you speak to me like this? You see, God picked Saul because he had a good heart, because he loved the Lord. But Saul is saying, me? Really? I haven't got what it takes. I'm small. I'm not as good as other people out there. Let me tell you, the thoughts of your heart matter. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think deep down of yourself, your view of your ability. You're praying, promote me, promote me, promote me. And then you see the competition, you go, oh my goodness, I haven't got what it takes. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Here we have this man. And when the spotlight is pointed to him, he says, I haven't got what it takes. I haven't got it. And then listen. At his coronation, I want you to imagine this. You've got the prophet Samuel gathering the entire nation of Israel together. And he does some elaborate rigmarole to present your new king. And he says, and he's from Benjamin. And everyone's probably, there's probably a drum roll. And then this group and this clan and this family. And then it gets to the point when they're about to announce, and this is your king. But they couldn't find him. Listen to this in 1 Samuel 10:22. They couldn't find him for so long that, listen to this, they inquired of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. Can you imagine? It's his coronation day. Prophet Samuel is about to crown him. The people are about to say, hail King Saul. And he's hiding. He's hiding. He feels like he hasn't got what it takes. Now, this is the thing. You see, let me put it in 21st century language. Saul had insecurities. And how many times do we look at insecurities and we say, oh, it's normal. We're all insecure about something. Do you know, Apostle, earlier in this year, the Lord said to me, Joe, I will not tolerate even a whiff of an insecurity in you anymore. Insecurity makes us wobble, makes us look in the wrong directions. And so here we have a man that says, why are you choosing me? Here we have a man who's hiding on the day of his coronation. Now I want you to know that yes, our awesome God chooses the foolish things of this world. 1 Corinthians 1:27. We all love that. How many of you like me? You're like, wow, you know, I qualify. Because it says he chooses the base things of this world. In other words, those that the world disregards, writes off. God chooses the foolish things of this world. But it says he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. How does God use a fool, a weak, a base, a useless, a broken vessel to confound wise people? By transforming them. By saying, I'll take you where you are. I'll take you at your starting point. But my child, I don't want you to stay and remain the way you were when you came to me. Are you catching this? You see, God said, Saul, I see your good heart. I see that you love me. I see this purity in there. And I see your insecurities. But if you will surrender, if you will allow me to do a deep work in your heart, there's nowhere we can't go. You see, this is the thing. Insecurity is a fruit that proves that there's a root. Find me a tree with any kind of fruits, and we're both going to be able to find the roots. So you see, insecurity always shows up in your life through your behaviors, your habits. And it showed up in King Saul's life. And I've covered some of those things. You know, after he became king, he had a void, right? We know he was insecure when he got picked. And you and I have a choice. What am I going to do with that horrible feeling of inadequacy on the inside? What am I going to do when I see someone else and I think they're better than me? How am I going to fill that horrible vacuum in my heart? Anyone ever been there? And sadly, King Saul did, oh, and I'm going to tell you a little of my journey in a moment, exactly what I did for years. King Saul fed that horrible vacuum on the inside with the praises of people. When the people were close to him, he felt great. When the people praised him, he felt like $1 million, and he thought, there's nothing that can stop me. But this is the thing I'll never forget, when God said to me, Joe, if people's praises can build you up, then their criticism will be able to tear you apart. You see, God wants us to be able to be like the donkey, that we just carry Jesus on our back. Because I remember when someone once described this to us years ago, that you see, if the donkey stands up to receive praise, Jesus will fall off. But you see, if when the praise comes, I stay low and I say, praise him, give the glory to him, Jesus, you take it. Then when the criticism comes, I can say, Jesus, you take it. You can handle it. Jesus, you stand there. Saul never learned what to do with the void on the inside. Number one, he fed on the praises of people. Please hear this one. I'm a leader. You heard Apostle Michael so graciously share some of what I do. I'm a leader with my husband, who is the senior leader of our church, and also I lead a ministry across the United States and the UK. And so I say that as a leader, what I'm about to say. But you see, Saul needed the approval of his leader. He needed his leader to be there when his leader's... There was something on Saul that was hanging on to Samuel's approval. The day when he lost everything, and I'm going to get to the verse in a moment, one of the issues he cited was, you weren't there, Samuel. I didn't see that smile, that nod, that I've got you, son. He needed the approval of his leader. He fed on the praises of people, and he felt threatened when someone else was celebrated. In our social media society, how do you feel when someone else is celebrating the very breakthrough you've been believing for years and years and years? What happens deep on the inside? You see, the heart is deceitful above all things. The devil wants all those issues on the inside to remain hidden. One of the books that I've got with me is a book that I almost feel like I beg people to read. Destiny Blockers, my most recent book. I almost feel like I would beg people to read it for the sake of their destiny. You know, envy is one of the most hidden heart issues. I never thought I struggled with any form of jealousy. Not for years, and then recently God showed me. When you see certain female ministers doing great, something in your heart just goes, eh. He said, do you know what eh is? Because if you look up the word envy in the Hebrew, it means discontent. So if you look at someone else's celebrations, you're... Ugh. And then you wonder, gosh, why are my joints aching? Because the Bible says envy is rottenness to the bones. But a healed heart, listen to me, my friend, a healed heart is life to the flesh. The more your heart get healed, the younger your body will look. If you want your youth to be renewed like the eagle, oh, allow the Lord to do a deep work in your heart. Hallelujah. You see, there was a day. You know, the devil knows how to set you up. The devil will study you, especially when he sees the anointing. When the devil sees destiny, that's where he gets threatened. That's where he studies. I'll never forget when the Lord said to me, Joe, you have to be more determined than the devil. Man of God, I really sense there is great destiny. There is history. There is a history-changing, history-making anointing that you are carrying. But there's certain things that have followed you, and it's because the enemy has studied you. He studied you to try and put the very barriers in the way that have been the unique barriers that would be most difficult for you. And the Lord is saying, son, I have the way through for you. I have the way up. I have the way into a level of breakthrough that you have been dreaming of, believing for, seeing in your visual dreams for many, many years. And the Lord says it's going to start in your heart. As I deal with things that got stuck decades ago because of mistreatment, these barriers are going to become tiny little hurdles that you skip over.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for the mantle, for the destiny-making, destiny-changing call on this mighty man of God's life. And Father, thank you that many will follow him. Many will follow you. And you will take them places that they've only dreamed of going. Father, thank you that it starts deep within. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the devil knew King Saul better probably than maybe even better than he knew himself. And the Bible says that a random group of women began to sing a song. A random group of women. And they're dancing and singing. Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. A random group of women. But you see, you remember, King Saul has a void on the inside. King Saul can't understand, why would you choose me, God? Who am I? I haven't got what it takes. He didn't know who he was. He was the king, but he was still behaving like a slave. Do you know what real humility is? You see, true death is when we know who we are. You see, Jesus knew he was a son so he could become a servant. When you think you're a nothing and then you try and serve, it just affirms your low self-worth. Low self-worth is not humility. It's a demonic death. The death that you're called to is one when you're more alive than you've ever been. It comes out of knowing your worth. So King Saul heard this song. The heart is deceitful above all things. Our hearts lie to us. You see, facing the truth is really painful sometimes. And here we have King Saul. Here's this song. Did he really believe David was trying to take the kingdom? I don't think so. I believe that was the PR, that was the spin that his heart was telling him. Because that was palatable. Because I think the truth was painful. Because you see, this is what I really believe. I really believe that for King Saul, seeing his spiritual son do better than him made him feel small. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 6, that God desires truth in the inward parts. If Saul had known how to do what David did again and again, you see, David says in the Psalms, pour out your heart in the presence of the Lord. David knew how to get into God's presence and tell the Lord, I can't handle this. If Saul had got in God's presence, fell on his knees and said, Lord, my spiritual son is doing better than me. It makes me feel so small. I'm so ashamed of myself, Lord. God, I was raised under this overbearing father, and now I have an overbearing son. I can't bear it, Lord. I feel so small. I feel like I'm nothing. If King Saul had done what it says in Lamentations 2:19, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. If King Saul had faced the truth and said, Lord, this is awful, I don't know how to cope with it. Do you know what I believe the Lord would have said? He'd have said, my son, do you not realize that David is a reflection of you as a father? Do you not realize that what you've poured into him is being released through him? You see, when we're inadequate, when we feel like we're nothing, seeing someone else succeed makes us feel like a failure. You see, insecurities are fruits that prove that there are roots. I've been married for nearly 28 years. I thank God. The first 10 years of our marriage, I can almost do a before and after. The first 10 years, as soon as I married my husband, I joined him in ministry, pastoring our back then small but growing church. God's hand was on my life in the workplace. And in 1 5-year period, I was promoted 5 times. I was eventually headhunted to the world's biggest public relations company, running a brand new corporate social responsibility division. My salary multiplied. I don't mean went up 5 times. I mean times 5. Multiplied 5 times. And so, you see, God gives us a taste of what he wants to do in the future. He gives us a taste of something. So on the outside, I looked like a great success. I looked like a successful Christian woman. And in ministry, doors were opening. I was beginning occasionally to preach in different nations and in different places. And I felt like a successful Christian woman. But I'd prayed 2 prayers. You know, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to go to heaven and hear those words, well done? Do you want your life to count? I'd prayed 2 prayers. First of all, Lord, will you transform me into the woman that can fulfill the destiny that you've called me to? Because I'd seen this vision of multitudes. And in front of my physical eyes, I was seeing 60s, 70s. And so I was, Lord, change me into that woman that I see there. And I prayed another prayer. Lord, will you make me the woman my husband deserves? He paid a high price for the first 11 years. I'm not going to go into that now. But being married to me was a sacrifice. It was a price. Because I thought I was successful. I saw myself as this successful Christian woman. Did you know a lot of pride is rooted in insecurity? A lot of inferiority produces superiority. I was full of insecurities and full of self-importance. And one day, I was at a conference for pastors with my husband. I was sitting opposite a prophet at lunchtime in a restaurant full of people. And the prophet looked across the table. You know, sometimes you've got to be ready for the tough love. It's the second time saying it today. It's for someone here. Someone here, you have someone in your life who is tough on you. And it's hurting you. But the Lord says to you, it's a woman, and the Lord says, daughter, I've placed that tough love in your life because I need to raise you up fast. So receive the tough love for the sake of your destiny. I'm in the restaurant opposite a prophet, and she starts her prophecy with these words: "The problem with you, Joe, she said, the problem with you, Joe, is it's all about position." Ouch. I loved God with all of my heart. I really did. I really wanted to serve him. But I said nothing. I just sat there. I think I was stunned. But there was also truth in what she said. I just sat there and said nothing. And then she carried on and she said, the honest truth is, you see, she started by speaking about fruits. You're all about position is a fruit. You need to show me respect. Jesus didn't need to be shown respect. Jesus loved everybody, but he did not need to be loved by anybody, because he knew who he was. He knew his worth. He knew, I am love. I'm made in the image of love. Why would I need to be loved when... She said, the problem with you, Joe, is it's all about position. And then she carried on and she said, the honest truth is, you have never faced the issues from your childhood. Wow. For a while I argued, you don't know, I was always the one in my family that held things together. I'm good, I've had some inner healing, I don't know what you're talking about. My husband was beside me, probably watching the things, thinking, when is she going to break? And then suddenly, the Spirit of Truth, one of my favorite names of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth broke into the depths of my heart, and suddenly, for the first time in my life, after 10 years of pastoring, of ministering, after being saved for something like 25 years, suddenly I faced my truth. And my truth was this: that if you were to strip away every role, every job title... Oh, I love telling people, I work for Prince Charles, what do you do? Top that. And then if they were in ministry, oh yes, I'm a pastor. For the first time ever, I faced my truth that if you were to strip away every role, every responsibility, even being able to say, oh yeah, I'm married, meant someone loved me enough to say I do. If you were to strip away all of that, suddenly in that room, it was lunchtime, I burst into the deepest tears ever as I faced my truth. And my truth was this: Lord, I feel like I'm nothing. I felt like I was not enough. I felt like everyone else was better than me. There I was with this big paycheck, this big job title, this handshake that I could introduce myself with, whichever title made me feel best in that moment. And now I'm crying and crying, saying, God, I'm nothing. And I started to face... I was raised in a very traumatic home. My dear mother, mentally ill, schizophrenia. We had court cases. We had the police. We had blood in our home. We had violence in our home. Distant father, hardly spoke, harsh. And suddenly, God, I'm nothing. And God began the biggest, the deepest journey of my life. I cried in front of about 200 people eating their lunch, in front of pastors whose opinions meant far too much to me. I cried and cried, and God began me on a healing journey. And this is the thing, my friend. The Lord is saying, I want to raise you up. I want to do something new in you. I've seen the pain. I've seen what you've been through. I've seen how you've said, what's it gonna take? How can I go on? I can't go on this way. And the Lord says, I'm here for you. I am here to start something new. I'm gonna deal with the things that you've been through, that you buried, you pushed down, you said it doesn't matter. But the Lord says, but it matters to me. Because you matter to me. It was too much for you, what you've been through, the things they said and did to you. And I have brought you through, but I am starting something new. And it starts today. And you've said, why so many delays? Why so many setbacks? And you've prayed and fasted. But the Lord says, my daughter, it starts in your heart. What you thought didn't matter, it matters to me. It matters. You see, we serve a God, especially in these end times, that is saying, I want to do a deep work in your heart. The Lord who weighs the hearts is saying, your heart is weighed down. There's too much pain. I want to read one final scripture before we go into a time of ministry. And my friend, I beg you, when God stirs things in your heart, don't push it away. Don't deny the pain. Don't worry what someone else thinks, because there's an encounter. I love the name of this ministry. Encounter with Jesus. There's an encounter that is the other side of truth, that is the other side of abandoning dignity. I was in the middle of a restaurant surrounded by people. God chose that as my venue. I want to read to me the saddest scripture ever over the life of King Saul. 1 Samuel 13, I'm going to read verse 11 and then verse 13. This is his defense. After Samuel says, why can I hear the sound of bleating? He was given a job to do. And in, you know, he did about 98% of the job. But listen to what he said to Samuel. When I saw that the people were scattered from me, he couldn't handle it when the people didn't like him anymore. God wants to deliver you from the opinions of people. He doesn't want you to lie awake worrying what you said, why you said it, and what they think of what you said ever again. When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come. And it goes on saying that the Philistines gathered together themselves. It's all about people. Then verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. And he goes on to say, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Let me just stop there a moment. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. I don't know about you, Apostle, but I can only imagine that that might have meant that it was going to be Jesus, King of, son of Saul, not son of David. I mean, what does forever mean except forever? I mean, maybe not the seed, but somehow he was going to establish his kingdom. Say it. The Lord's looking at your heart. And then it says, but now, your kingdom shall not continue. God is saying, I want to do something new in your heart. I want to ask you to stand in God's presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just as you stand, I want to ask you to shut your eyes. I don't know what you have gone through growing up. I don't know what your childhood was like. You know, God's plan was that family would be a place of love and security, a place where all you'd know was unending love and affection. I don't know what you've gone through. But right now, I want to ask you to shut your eyes in God's presence. Because if you're here today, and there's anywhere in your heart where you look at yourself and you just feel, I haven't got what it takes. I'm not enough. Someone else is better than me. When you see the success of others, if it makes you feel small, the Lord is saying, I want to do something new in you. I want to do a new thing. Right now, with your eyes shut, if you felt stirred while I was ministering, maybe you, like me, you say, I just don't feel like I'm enough. I feel like others are better. Maybe while I was ministering, you realize that you filled the void on the inside with human approval. Maybe you realize that you filled that void with wanting to be loved or needed, or you need people to tell you, well done. Whatever it is, right now with your eyes shut, if God has touched on something on the inside, just lift up your hands high. Lift up your hands high. The Bible says in Lamentations 2:19, pour out your heart like water. The Bible says that Jesus is your wonderful counselor. And he's saying, I want to do something new in you. Right now, if you're here and you're saying, I want God to do a deep work in my heart. I want God to start something in me. I want to invite you to come and kneel at the altar. Don't miss this moment. Just come and kneel. Just come and kneel. Don't miss this moment. The presence and power of the Lord is here to heal you. The power and love of the Lord is here for you. And as you reach the altar, just open your mouth. Do not pray in tongues. As far as you can reach, just kneel the closest place you reach. And as you kneel, don't pray in tongues. Pray in your own understanding. And do what I did. Tell God your truth. What is your truth? If you feel like others are better than you, and you've always looked around and you thought, I'm your second choice, I'm your third choice, why would you choose me? Whatever your truth is, right now, talk to the Lord. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what you've been through. Tell him what they did to you. Tell him how they treated you. Because the Lord says, I am here for you. I am ready to start something new in you. And I hear the Lord say, you've looked at others and you've always felt like everyone else is more qualified. But the Lord says, I chose you. I picked you. I am the one who's raised you. Oh, Jesus, Lord, reach into every heart. Just musicians, we don't need any sing song. Father, reach into the heart of every one of your children. Just tell the Lord, I don't feel like I'm enough. Oh, and I see the trauma, too much trauma. It was too much trauma. And the very fact that you are alive today is even a miracle. But the Lord says, I'm here for you. I am ready to do something new in you. I have seen, the storms, the fights. Oh, I've seen it all. And I am here for you. I am ready to do something new in you. Oh, Jesus, reach into every deep place of pain, oh Lord. Jesus is your wonderful counselor. And he says, talk to me. Talk to me, my child. I am here for you. I see what you've been through. Talk to me when no one else would listen. And they just said, get out of my presence. When no one else was interested, the Lord says, I picked you, I chose you, I love you, and I am here for you. Ha. And I've got all the time you need. Jesus, Lord, Jesus, reach into the deep places, oh Lord. Oh, Father, too much anger, trauma. Oh, Jesus, Lord, Father, thank you that you're going to the roots, to those deep places where pain has been buried. Oh, Lord God, excavate that pain buried deep inside. And the Lord says, I'm here for you. I know you. I know you. And I love you. And I will never, ever show you up. I'll never, ever make you ashamed. I'll never, ever. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. When no one seemed to even notice you, they didn't seem to care for you, they overlooked you, they pushed you away, the Lord says, but I love you. I love you. And I see, I see, I see. I saw it all, the times you felt invisible. I saw it all. And I'm here. I'm here for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus. Jesus. There are two parts to structural transformation. I would love for you to listen. We pour out our pain. And God is just starting something today that needs to continue for weeks, months, a lifetime. We pour out our pain first because pain gets buried and it's heavy. But when we release it, it leaves behind a void. And then the Lord fills that void back up with his healing love. So right now across this place, lift up your hands. Lift them up high. It says in Ezekiel 3:10, receive into your heart all my words. And the Lord speaks. speaks to you with your eyes shut. Just hear the word of the Lord, because he says, I love you. Oh, how I love you. I love you, my precious, precious child. I love you. Not because of what you do for me, not because of how you serve. I love you just because you're mine. I love you. You are the apple of my eye. You are my delight. Right now, with your hands still raised, just say out loud, I receive your love. I receive your love. I believe your love for me. I receive your love. And I want you to pray one more prayer. Just say out loud, Heavenly Father, I will stay on my healing journey. I will pursue the healing of my heart for the sake of my destiny. Have your way from this day forth in Jesus' mighty name. If God has done something good in your life, just put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, give Jesus praise in this place. Father, I speak peace into every heart. I speak peace into every life. In Jesus' name. I've brought books with me. Destiny Blockers is the one I mentioned earlier. I've brought a book called The Many Faces of Shame. I believe it was shame that buried King Saul's destiny. He was ashamed of his upbringing. He was ashamed of his smallness. He was ashamed of killing 1,000 when someone else killed 10,000. Shame has always, since the Garden of Eden, caused God's people to hide and cover up. I've brought about 8 to 9 titles with me. Please have a look at the books and get something so that you can stay on your desk, stay on your healing journey. Get one for a friend and bless them with it. Apostle Michael, I want to thank you so much for such an honor. Please make your way back to your seats. God bless you.
Just lift your hands toward heaven and appreciate the Lord. You know, most of you who came,
dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.